Zayin, this is Hagadosh Pasa. We're going into Magid. We're going into the part that's not exactly Hallel, but is referring to Hallel. Until Kuf Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Mikimi Me'afer Dol. And everybody recognizes this Pasuk. From Mikimi Me'afer Dol, he lifts up from the dust the poor man, Me'ashpos, from the dust, the garbage heaps, Yorim Evion, he brings up the destitute, Lo Shivim Nidivim, to let him sit among the princes of Nidivei Amo. The overall theme of the parak is, without a question, everybody agrees, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been and always will be there for us, no matter what, he's always there. It's divided up into three different parts. The first part of the parak is, we are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we praise him at all times in every place, because we're servants of Hashem, we do everything he wants. Second part shows Hashem's greatness for being in a place all the way up high and all the way down low, right? He is everywhere we need him. Number three, that greatness is his ability to connect with everyone, that he is able to get to even the people that are so lowly that you think God has nothing to do with. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them. He takes care of every individual, right, as well as the public people as well. Our pasuk is in the third part referring to this, right? That's the idea behind it. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the highest of all highs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond anything that we can understand, nonetheless, his hashkacha, which is all the way down to little old me, to the little ants of the earth, to the tiny little mitochondria, the that are out there throughout the entire world. As the Radak says, he sees the Shvalim and gives them what they need. And the greatest are able to see the plight of those that are not on their level. We talked about this before. I've always thought that the reason why the greatest creatures that have ever existed in the history of the world, the blue whale, eats the tiniest of creatures, the tiniest little plankton and krill. And the reason why is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using that as sort of like a, I don't know, let's call it like a way of showing us how he deals with the world. Where if the whale, the biggest creature to have ever existed, eats, can subsist entirely on these tiny, tiny little things, then contrast that with the way that we act with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about every single thing in the world, even the tiniest little thing. And even for us, even the little tiny things that we have, that's the idea behind it. Sort of like a microcosm of how the world works is the idea behind that. Now, Haggadah Yal Kitov says there's no doubt that the Pashup Shah behind the Pashup is exactly as it sounds like. It's that B'nai Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, we were slaves, we were absolutely nothing, we're on the 49th level of Tumah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us out of the depths of Gehenna, took us away from the slavery that we had in Mitzrayim, and allowed us to be free and to be shining and to be these noble princes that were out there in the Midbar, and obviously to get the Torah itself. And that's who Moshe and Aaron and the kingdom truly were. Mikimim Alfredol. He brought us out from the dirt that we were working and making bricks and doing all this stuff, and allowed us to be awesome. The Ashbos is the craziness that we were under, obviously the craziness that we're there, Yarameh. And that's shot as to why we end off Magid with this line. Because we just went from being slaves in the beginning of Magid to the end of Magid where we're freed. So obviously we end off with this line, which exactly personifies everything that Magid represents. The idea of starting off small, maskel beginus, or mesayim b'shvach, and ending off high, that's the idea of why we put this tilm there. Even though it should be with Hallel later on in the Seder, it's separated, put in Magid for this reason over there. That's what he says. Psikta Rabasi says it within the Medrash form, in Mem Zayin, says when the decrees were made against the Jews that any Jew that's born is going to automatically be thrown into the river, the women who felt they were ready to give birth would go straight to the garbage dumps and give birth in the areas where they thought the Egyptians would be the least likely to go to. In the places where there was filled with garbage and filth and all the most disgusting things in the world, that's where the women went to go have their babies, thinking the Egyptians were going to find them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle and allowed the babies to survive in such an area. He cleaned and washed those babies, gave them proper clothing, made sure that they would have everything that they needed. They were fed by Malachim, given whatever they needed by Malachim, and eventually they came back to Klal Yisrael, these awesome babies that no one even knew existed because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to live among those places. Maybe it wasn't as miraculous. Maybe there were surrogate parents that were living in those areas, taking care of all the babies that were thrown there, thrown in the dumpster by their parents. Maybe it's like an idea of, you know, the parents couldn't keep their babies, so they just threw them out. So these parents took them in and had tens, if not 20, 30, 40 babies that they were taking care of all at one time. Maybe there's awesome stuff beyond. But the Psik Torah Basi says that's the idea, again, of Me'ash Bosrim of Yon, that the little babies that were thrown in the garbage, those are the ones that ended up being there. Yeah.
According to the others had six babies, then how could a parent take care of them?
At this time, it wouldn't have been six babies. You're right. It wouldn't have been six babies at a time. It seems clear at this time, they didn't have six babies. Maybe it was a little bit later or before. Remember, that decree, when they wanted to kill all the babies, was a very short amount of time. 3 months, according to the Medrash. It was only 3 months where they said, we're going to kill all babies. It didn't happen for many, many years. So that would make the most likely the thing over there. Medrash Tehillim in Chav Beis brings a mashal. It's a really good mashal. A king once had to exile one of his wives and all of her children for something that she had done terribly wrong. So he exiled her. He got rid of her and all the kids completely. For years, that wife was not allowed to come back, and the children started to forget that they were princes and princesses. Obviously, they were born in the palace. Maybe they grew up a little bit in the palace, but as time went on, they completely forgot about it. And if somebody would ask them, they would say, I don't know what you're talking about. They forgot who they were and what they really were like. One time, his daughter, the king's own daughter, was walking humbly in the street, and the king's entourage went by, his procession went by in the streets. As they were going by, he looked outside of his window and saw that among all the other people around there, all the other people that were bowing down to his carriage as it was walking by, he saw his own daughter. His own daughter was standing there from his wife, the one that he had exiled before. And she was standing there humbly, bending her whole body toward the king itself. When he saw that, he felt for his daughter, and he said, ah, my daughter should bow down to me. How could I let that happen? So he pulled her into the wagon, said, come with me, come with me. The daughter didn't know, me? Why me? Who am I? And everybody wondered, who in the world is this? Why is the king calling this little girl to come up onto the carriage itself? And she said to them, you're wondering, I have no idea. Why am I being called up? And the king pulls her into the carriage and says, you're my daughter. You don't remember being my daughter. You don't remember being in the palace. I had to throw you out of the kingdom because of something that your mother did. But you don't remember being my daughter and living in my palace? Come, I'll show you exactly what you're missing out on. And brings her back into the palace. And eventually she remembers. She calls over her brothers and sisters and her mother, etc., and everybody is able to come back. The concept, obviously, if this wasn't an obvious enough mashal, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually is going to call Klal Yisrael back. At some point, Me'ash Bosirim Avyom, from the garbage, from those that are down in the dust, the people that think they have nothing, that they are nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show them, no, you're really princes and princesses. Klal Yisrael, I'm going to take you out from where you are in the middle of nowhere. You're not going to even know who you are. I'm going to bring you up and I'm going to help you. Imagine what the Mitzrayim were like. Imagine what those who survived the Holocaust were like, thought that they were forgotten completely by everyone and everything, not knowing when they were going to be freed, and then they're freed. And once they're freed, they realize they were taken out from over there. It says in Medrash Tehillim, that's what it's going to be like, lost and level, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out. He's going to show among the other nations how awesome we are, how we truly are family to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Miam Lois even answers this. He goes a little further. He says, even in the lowly estate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to not only deal with us, but to cleanse us, he's willing to deal with our issues and our problems, which already is a big issue over there. To be able to help out somebody who doesn't really need that much help is not that big of a deal. But to help those people that need a lot of help, that need a lot of going up, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only that, but to make miracles happen for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to suspend all laws of nature and make anything happen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do, even to the lowest of the low. What's going on?
Shouldn't the mashal be that the daughter knew about it, but she thought the king was still mad at him? Because we know that Hashem's going to take us out.
Do we? I mean, you're right, yes. Do all of Klal Yisrael know? Does everybody believe that it's going to happen? Or is it going to happen in such a way where we're going to be like, oh my gosh, I never saw this one coming. So I hear you, yes.
We think that it might never happen. Just like the daughter thought she
maybe
might never,
yeah,
come back.
I hear you, I hear you. Maybe you could switch the mashal around a little bit, but the concept is still there of Me'ash Bosirim Avyon, so it's still there when it comes through. And that's as well, says the Malbim, even further. Lo Shivi Im Nedivim, look at the end of the Pasuk. Normally, there's no way, if I'm this poor guy who used to be a mishulach, to go around by the wealthy people around and ask them for $1, for $2, and they would give me. Normally, I wouldn't be able to sit with those guys, even if I became wealthy, I wouldn't be able to sit with them at a wedding and be able to sit at the same table with them and be an equal to them. They're always going to look down at me because I'm the one who used to collect by their tables. Even though now I happen to make a lot of money, but it doesn't make a difference because back in the day, I was the guy who was so lowly, they're never going to treat me the same. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can do it. Lo Shivim Medivim, not only am I going to bring you up, I'm going to let you sit together with the princes. I'm going to sit you down with the greatest of the great. I'm going to sit you with the holiest of the holy. That's what I'm going to do over here. That's how the Malbim puts it over here, that it's going to be even better than that. The Chasam Sofer, in his Drushos in Shabbos, page 259, he says this is the biggest mistake that people make about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They think there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anything anything to do with this world. The philosophers always thought, sure, God created the world, but then he left it. Because why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with all of us? Why would he want to deal with all of us? Why would he want to deal with the little ants that we are and all of our problems and our sins? And the truth is, it doesn't make any sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that he does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with us. And that's what it means. Mashpili liros bashamayim ba'aretz. He lowers himself to see what's going on in the land, to see what's going on wherever everything is. And he's able to be make him may offer even ourselves. That's the idea behind it. It's the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to these types of things. Malbim says that many people think that they're doomed to whatever sentence they've written for themselves, that they give it to themselves and that's it. They think they have no way of getting themselves out. They think, Bani Chayim Azoni, B'mazol Atulia. It's totally on their mazel. That whether they're going to have children, how long they live, and everything about them, the riches that they're going to have, is all totally a mazel. It doesn't matter what I do, whatever I do or I don't do. It doesn't make a difference. It's already set in Shemayim. It's set in stone. But it's not true, says the Malbim. These people even bring proofs. Look at Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa in the Gemara was a great tzaddik. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all he gets is the Kav Charubim Erev Shabbos, Lev Shabbos. Everything that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa did again and again and again, the great tzidkus that he had, the great chassidus that he was under, and yet still, all he could get is a kav of carobs every single week. That's Rabbi Hanina Mendoza. Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara right there in Tainus, the same thing in the third parak with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis, the student of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Pattis had a dream in which he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what can I do? Am I going to be wealthy at all? Am I ever going to make money in this world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no. Do you want me to turn around the entire world? Maybe you'll be born under a mazel in which you'll have riches. They'll say, see, there's nothing we can do. If we're born poor, we're going to be poor. If we're born under a certain mazel, that's the way we're going to be. There's no real bechira in this world. There's nothing we can do. It's really over. That's really it. They bring proofs from Rava. Rava was born under the mazel of Madim. Some say Rabba. Rava was born under the mazel of Madim. They were born under Mars. They had to be murderers in some way. They had to be. So yeah, they worked in Beis Din instead. They were Moalim, Shochtim. But they had to be murdered. They had to be somebody who spills blood. They bring proofs from this. And the Malbim says the truth is HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a quarter of his day Mizavik Zivugim. Making Zivugim. And although obviously that has to do with Shiduchim, it refers to you. A quarter of the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends looking at every person and seeing, is this person Roy? Is he fit to be in the same level that he is right now? Or should we move him up or move him down a certain level? Where is he right now? Is he the same person that he was or is he different? And hopefully, we're slowly but surely climbing that ladder and getting better and better and better. I'm no longer that person who was on that level who doesn't deserve X. I'm now on this level because I davened really well or I learned really well. I turned myself into a different person. It's like I was reborn under the new mazel that I'm under, and under that new mazel, now I'm Y. Now I'm somebody else entirely. Rabbi Elazar was on such a level where every level he went up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to have riches. His greatness was because he was so poor, and so too with Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, and so too with Rava. There was some greatness behind who they were. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to move because that was their greatness, that was their nisayon. By us, that's not a guarantee. It could very well be that our nisayon is to move ourselves out of the position that we're in to become the most wealthy, the most popular, the most successful, the most whatever it is. Maybe that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us, and maybe that's the idea behind it, taking us out from those depths themselves. That's the idea that the Malbim says here. It's a beautiful, beautiful line. David HaMelech was really referring to himself with these psukim. Does everybody know the story of what happened with David HaMelech? I'm not going to go through the entire thing. Where the brothers thought that he was from an illicit relationship that Yishai had had with his Shifcha. Yishai originally had wanted, See, Yishai wanted to, what's it called? Yishai was worried that maybe it was Moabi, Umoavia, and that Rusamovia was never allowed to join Klal Yisrael, and he had married Nitzeves Bas Adoyel. Nitzeves Bas Adoyel was a regular Jewish woman. He wasn't sure if he was allowed to be with a regular Jewish woman, so he suggested to be together with a Shifcha Mishuchreres, because maybe he was a Pasul Jew, so at least he would have legitimate children through the Shifcha Mishuchreres, because if he was a Moabi man, from his mother, etc., then maybe he wouldn't be part of Klal Yisrael. It's a whole shiloh of itself on whether or not Moabi goes to, because, okay, regardless. Regardless of what it is, it seems pretty obvious that in some way Yishai thought that he would have a problem. So he wanted to be with his Shifcha Mishuchreres. That Shifcha Mishuchreres was at Tzedekes and told Nitzeves Bas Adol what Yishai was doing. And Nitzeves hid in the dark. Instead of the Shifcha Mishuchreres being there, Yishai was together with Nitzeves Bas Adol. Nitzeves Bas Adol became pregnant, but she would not say who the father was because Yishai thought it was with the Shifcha Mishuchreres, but it wasn't. It was really with Nitzeves. Nitzeves gave birth to a baby boy, David HaMelech. He looked like Esav. He had the red hair, the red beard born, and he looked different from all the other brothers. And therefore, because of that, nobody thought that David was a regular brother. They thought he was a mamzer. They thought that Nitzavas Bas Adol had been together with another man, and that this is a mamzer. So they treat him like garbage. For 30 years of his life, maybe a little bit less, he was sent out to the fields being a shepherd, and he wouldn't be together with any of the brothers. And for 30 years, he was treated like that, until Shmuel Anavi came and said, one of your sons, Yishai, is going to be the next king instead of Shaul HaMelech. And he went over and he saw the seven sons of David, the seven sons of Yishai. And he said, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else here? And Yishai said, there is one other boy, but he's not my child. They brought him in, David HaMelech, and then Nitzavas Bas Adol told the story. He said, it really is your child. It really is your kid, right? And they were all shocked. And all the lines that we say in Hallel of Otcha Hashem Ki Nisani, Vatil Lishua, Evan Moasu Abanim, the stone that was the Evan, the Ben, that was despised by Habonim, the Bunim, by the other sons, Haisa L'Rosh Pina ended up being the cornerstone of Klal Yisrael, Meis Hashem Oisezos, they all looked at it and said, this has got to be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zayo Masah Hashem Negilim Nisuchavo. Unbelievable lines, but that's what happened to David. David HaMelech could refer to, there's no one greater than this. May Ashbos Yorim Evyon, that he was brought up in the depths where everybody thought he was a nobody, they thought he was a mamzer, and he became king. If it can happen to David HaMelech, it can happen to anybody. If it can happen to a person like David HaMelech, that David HaMelech was brought out from the garbage, this is the amazing thing that can happen to anybody else. And the crazy thing is, the Pe'er Aharon says, Dal the Evyon. Dal the Evyon is the same gematria as David HaMelech. It's off by one, but we can usually do that. Dal the Evyon is the gematria of David HaMelech. You want me to do something else like Adal the Evyon? Right, we'll do that. Right, in which it goes, there's something that connects with David HaMelech himself. We have a saying in English, it's called rock bottom. I think everybody understands that when the lowest point that a person can get to, when there's no other direction to go, you have to go up. And we understand that, that there's no way to go. What are you going to do? Usually when people hit rock bottom, they realize what it is. I have crazy stories about this. You have crazy stories about this. I can't even, like, there are stories that I have about this, about going after a guy who went to a rave concert at 2:30 in the morning in a stolen car on a Motzei Shabbos while unbelievably high, and I had to find him. And finding him on the west side of Chicago. Great stories. Absolutely great stories. These are stories I can't wait to tell my kids as their bedtime stories when they grow up. This is they grow up, only when they grow up. Like, unreal stories. I got two tickets that night for going through red lights because I did not want to stop at a red light on the west side of Chicago at 2 in the morning. Surprisingly, right? Do you know how many kids were up? How many kids were up, like, walking the streets? Crazy, absolutely crazy. But I've got more than just that. Unbelievable stories about this type of stuff. But we understand it. We all have stories like that, where a person was down out of his luck, felt like there was nowhere to go, so he brought himself up. The Mi'am Lo'ei says there are people that are so poor they cannot imagine being anything but poor. They can't imagine anything else. At that moment when the person has given up completely, that's when Hashem comes in. Oh, it's no longer you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't do it. Then I'll step in and show you, of course, something can be done. When you gave up hope, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give up hope. That's the idea. Pulls him out of the garbage dump and says, I'll take care of you because you don't think you can do it anymore. Finally, your gaiva's gone. Finally, you're an unav again. Fine, I'll be able to help you. Obviously, that can be in a physical way, a literally physical way of pulling you out of the garbage dump. But it's also spiritual. Think about it in a ruchnistic fashion. When a person has no schusim to save him, no longer does he have any mitzvos or any merits to be able to save him, no mitzvot to fall back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to raise him up out of the dust of his own terrible existence. He'll be able to do mitzvos again. He'll be able to do something good again. And that's that. The Chidush HaRim says, we mentioned this before, that the last night of Yosef's life in jail, he was giving up. It had been 12 years. He's 30 years old. He had gone to jail when he was 18, and he's been in jail for 12 years, and he cannot figure out why. He had no idea why he'd been in jail for 12 years. Maybe 2 years he could figure out in some way, 10 years, he could not figure out why he was going to be long in that. So he said, on Rosh Hashanah night, it was Rosh Hashanah night, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I'm out, says the Chidush HaRim. The Yosef HaTzadik was out. And the next morning he said, tomorrow I'm going to be an Egyptian. I'm going to be a full Egyptian. I'm going to pretend that I'm going to be just like everybody else. But I can't do this anymore. It's been too much. It's been too long. And we all know what happened. That very night, Paro had a dream, two dreams. And he needs somebody to interpret them. And of course, Yosef HaTzadik is, before he's even able to do something, before he can wash Negovasser, Yosef HaTzadik is pulled out of jail, given a haircut, bathed, cleaned, put on brand new clothing, and sat in front of the king himself. It happens, Karef Ayin, like the blink of an eye, says the Chidush HaRim, literally, Me'ash Bosim Rivon, literally, Laharim, from the upper, to take him out of the dust itself. That's what is happening. If we feel that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out himself and do everything he needs. Yeah.
So why does Hashem wait for the person to break and lose faith as opposed to at the typical of this faith. Meaning, why didn't it happen this
Yeah, why not do it beforehand? Oh, I wish, if only we could fully understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans to do anything. My simple answer would be, because there's a gaiva involved. The fact that this guy is thinking, I'm going to do it myself. And that's what Yosef did, right? He told the butler, go ahead and tell Paro, right? Then I'm here innocently. So that's the idea behind what he was doing. Now again, that's yishtadlus. How much yishtadlus versus how much you have to accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for. I hear you. How much bitachon, etc. But somehow Yosef was at fault for that.
It seems like you're almost being like rewarded at the failure, not at like listen, you're doing the right thing.
Isn't that Yosef's dream? Yosef's dream of the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to get him? That when Yosef HaTzadik is lying down on the ground and the sun and the moon and the stars have to come down to him to be able to help him, to be able to get him wherever he is. That's the awesome part. Like, yeah, sometimes it feels like garbage. Sometimes you feel like he can't do it anymore. He's down in the ground and out, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu lifts him up. That's the awesome part behind it. I think that's the whole idea behind the dream itself. Tanit Belio Rabba. Tanit Belio Rabba and Chafei says that every Jew is chayiv lomar, chayiv to say. Do you hear this? Not you could say, not it's okay to say. Chayiv lomar masaya giu masai lomaisa avosai. When will my deeds reach the deeds of my fathers? When will I be able to do what my father says? Now, again, if it's just you should say or you could say, then you'll never be like the others. You'll never, because you could, you should, whatever it is. If you're chayiv to say it, that means you could be like the avos. You're chayiv to be able to say to yourself, I will be like my father, says Rav Dessler in Chelak Hei, in his part in Tshuva. He says, the only reason why you think you can't is because you don't understand how Tshuva works. If you understood how Tshuva works, that it literally brings you out and makes you into a different person, you would have no question you could become Avram Avinu. You wonder because you say, no way. There's no way Tshuva really works like that. But it does. It does work that way. And Hashem promises us that. And we're chayiv to say to ourselves, how awesome is Tshuva? And then again, that's Mekimi Me'afardol, he says. They embraced the garbage they were given. They became great because of it, not despite it, not just because it was around there. The Gra says that a Dal is someone who's very poor. He doesn't have any money to his name. An Evyon is someone who has a crazy taiva. The word Evyon comes from ta'ave. Right, to desire something and cannot fulfill it. A person who doesn't have many mitzvos to his name is known as a dal. A person who doesn't have any Torah whatsoever, that's a guy who's so filled with averos he can't get out of it, that's an evyon. That's a guy who's completely gone and completely destroyed in everything he does. An evyon refers to a person that's disgusting and living in garbage, and that guy who's living with so many averos, that guy can be brought out from his evyonus. A dal is somebody who just needs a couple mitzvos. That guy can be brought out from the upper, taken out from his gashmias to be able to be brought into the world. That's how the Gra understands it. The Sfas Emes says it's really referring to his dignity himself. Only when a Kadosh Baruch Hu helps him get out of the pit, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu helps him get out, does he realize there's so much more he could have had, how off his original desires were. You go to a poor person and you say, hey, what's your greatest desire in the world? The guy's just like, a clean bed, a shower that I don't have to take at the YMCA. Right, that's my greatest desire in the world. A hot meal that I made myself with ingredients and a stove. You go to a really poor person, that's really what he wants. But that's ridiculous. For a person who's wealthy, you ask him that question, he's like, I don't know, like a golden bed. I don't know, like an awesome, like a $500,000 car. Because that guy knows what he really wants. It comes to that regarding ruchnius as well. If you don't know what you're asking for, and you say to a guy, what do you want to do? So he'll usually say, like, I want to finish Shas. Finishing Shas is, and I know this is hard to say, but technically easy. We have a person who's Misayim Shas here, right? It's technically easy. You just got to commit yourself to 7.5 years. And I know that's hard. I know it's difficult. And it's not like the Gemaras are easy, but in theory, a person could dedicate 7.5 years of his life, 15 minutes. I'm sure there are shiurim everywhere. I'm sure in Torah anytime, where you could finish a shiur in Daf Yomi every day in 15, 18, 20 minutes, and you could do it. It's not that hard to do. But if you ask a person, really, what do you want? Your ruchnius, if you're asking a person who's improved, he's going to say to himself, what do I want? I don't just want to finish Shas. I want to know everything. I want to be able to be a person who's really working on himself all day long. I want to be a person that automatically is a chelik in Olam Haba because of what he did, the certain deeds that he has. That's the idea behind it. When it comes to a poor person in ruchnius, he doesn't even know what to ask for. That's what it means, to be able to ask for the right things at the right time. That's the idea behind it. Yalka Gershuni says, for that reason, he wants him to be poor first and then bring him up. This really gets to your question as well. He wants him to be poor and then be brought up because only a poor person understands what other poor people need. If a poor person becomes rich, he knows what his friends, the poor people, need. He knows how to help them. But a rich person who's been rich his entire life, How does he help a poor person? He has no idea what the guy's life is like. So just giving him a check is the best he can do. He can't really help them in any other fashion. Rav Wolfson says it's unbelievable. This also refers to the neshamos of tzaddikim that have to be brought out from the plight that they're in. Like Rav Meir out of Edom, or Avadia, or Shmaya Naphtalion, bringing out the neshamos from the garbage. That's the awesomeness behind it. There are a few Ramazim over here as well. The Gra says the Dal refers to Shimshon, who had no one to help him and he had to do everything on his own. Nachash Afer Lachmo. The Nachash eats dirt. Shimshon was down in the dirt. He's known as the Nachash Alei Derech, the snake on the path. Shvifon Alei Orach, right? He's known as that snake. He was eating the dust. He was mamish on his own as if there was nothing there, and he still was able to bring himself out and lift himself out and become the person that he was. Maybe a Kadosh Baruch Hu turned him into a shofet, and that's what it means, that he was lifted out from the Ufer itself. The Ashpos refers to a place of Avodah Zarah. The Aron Kodesh, when it was taken in the days of Shmuel and Navi by Chofni and Pinchas, and Eli HaKohen obviously, it was taken by Chofni and Pinchas out to war and taken to the house of Avodah Zarah of Dagon by the Plishtim, and it was placed inside there. It's Me'ashpos, that's a place filled with garbage of Avodah Zarah, Yarim Evyon. You can take out the Evyon, the Sefer Torah itself, and it's a reference to what happens in Navi itself. It says Rav Shur, the Rosh Tevis of Mikimi Me'afer Dol Me'ashbos Yarim Evyon, those six words, is Mem Mem Dalid Mem Yud Aleph, which is a gematria of 135, the same as Matzah. Same as matzah itself. The mitzvah of eating matzah has the power to bring us out from a low level and to bring us up, and yet still keep us humbled. We're still humbled when that happens. By eating matzah on Pesach, we're able to be metaken all the bad achilos and shtilos that we had all year long. We're able to fix ourselves. Maybe that's why me'afer dal is Sin Gematria's Mashiach ben David. That we're able to find Mashiach ben David in everything we do. And mekimi me'afer dal, the sofei tevis, is yud reish lamed, which is a gematria of Amalek, 240 for Amalek altogether, says Rav Shur, that's the idea of what may, if we eat matzah properly, we're able to bring about the powers of Mashiach and David to destroy Amalek from within us. I'm going to end with this, and this is a really, really beautiful idea. The Miyamloi says it's a hint to what the nations would do to the coastal Maravi in the future, the coastal after the second base of Mikdash was destroyed. In the days of the Turks, when Suleiman the Great, who made the walls outside of the old city of Yerushalayim, Suleiman the Great did that about 500 years ago. He was a Turkish king, and a sultan, I should say, and he loved Yerushalayim and was very okay with Jews, surprisingly. He was very good. That's why we call him Suleiman the Great. There were some great things that he did in Eretz Yisrael, right, that were unbelievable. No one at the time had any idea where the Western Wall was. And this is the way the story goes. No one had any idea where the Western Wall was, but there was a tradition that the coastal Maravi survived from the Beis HaMikdash, that it never was burned down, that the rest of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but the Western Wall survived. But nobody had any idea where it was. So he instructed his men and he told them, you have to go find it. Legend has it that they couldn't find it at all. They had no idea until a woman had come all the way from Beis Lachem carrying garbage and dumped it in a certain area. And when they asked her, they said, why would you come all the way from Beis Lechem, which is a far walk, to bring your garbage here, to dump it over here? She said, this is our custom. Our custom is to bring our garbage from all throughout Eretz Yisrael and dump it in this one area. So Suleiman the Great said, there's something going on here. Something clearly is going on here. Check out where the garbage dump is. They cleared out all the garbage, and after they cleared out all the garbage, they found the Western Wall. Underneath all the garbage, underneath everything they had placed on top of there, that's what it refers to. It's unbelievable. Suleiman obviously found it. He scraped the wall clean. He washed it with water, smelling with roses. And he allowed the Jews to come daven by it. And he himself went to it to be able to daven together with the Jews while they were there. It was a true definition of me'ashpos from the garbage heaps, Yarim Evyon, that the Evyon should be brought out. Our job in the Seder is to take ourselves out of the garbage dump. The important thing is to picture us being slaves and then to take ourselves out. It's the perfect ending. Yes, Hallel is later. The Hallel that we refer to for the future of what we need for the war of Gog and Magog and Mashiach ben David, that's a little bit later. That's Hallel after the Shulchan Aruch. But this Hallel, this beginning of Hallel, purely defines what it was like for us to get out of Mitzrayim, what it meant to be taken out of that 49th level of Tumah, what it meant to be absolutely awesome and have Yetzias Mitzrayim and eventually go to Har Sinai. Should be Zocha on Friday night and Motzei Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael just Friday night, to be able to really find what it means to be Me'ashbos Yerim Evyon. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.